Now hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "These things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
You know, our lectionary now brings us into Luke's Gospel today. And in this year when we read through Matthew, and in this season when we read through John, all of a sudden we encounter Luke. We won't read Luke again until the fourth Sunday in Advent. But somehow, this beloved passage recounting Cleopas and the other encountering Christ on that evening of the first Easter seems uniquely fitting for this Sunday. In this passage of transition, of transformation, we're invited to encounter Jesus in our own journey. I invite you to sit with this reading in the coming week and see how the Holy Spirit is inviting you in this season of disruption, this season of change, of growth, of transformation. How are you being drawn into the presence of Christ? I doubt that we'll have much difficulty entering into the world of Cleopas and his friend as they trudge along a road both familiar and unwelcome, full of uncertainty and disappointment. They tell the stranger who joins them, "We had hoped." I'm pretty sure that none of us are experiencing the April that we had envisioned, the one about which we had hoped. We had hoped. You can fill in the blank. Perhaps we can even see in the ways in which our own expectations get in the way of recognizing the work of God, the way our disappointment and discouragement get in the way of recognizing Jesus in our midst. And yet, we are gently invited to bring those very disappointments, doubts, fears, and discouragement to Christ and allow the will and the work of God to be revealed in our prayers and in the scriptures. And we come to realize that change is painful. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? You know, we intuitively recognize that change requires setting aside the old in order to take up the new. We recognize, and yet we resist. We want the resurrection life without the death that necessarily precedes it. Paul reminds us that we are baptized into the death of Christ so that we may be raised with him into new life. Is it not necessary? Even the good things we might hope for must be set aside so that the God things that are greater than we can even ask or imagine might flourish. But this is an Easter story. So we're not left in our disappointment and the pain at the death of our hopes. Jesus comes to us in resurrection life. He is revealed in the breaking of bread. We might even summarize Luke's two volumes in the single sentence, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking." Jesus comes into our everyday life, our everyday needs, and calls us into an everyday kind of faith. See, Jesus calls us to a radical hospitality. A radical hospitality like Cleopas and his friend, who strongly urge a stranger, saying, "Stay with us, for it is evening and the day is now far spent." A radical hospitality that might even draw criticism because of those that we include. The same criticism that followed Jesus. "For the Son of Man has come eating and drinking," and you say, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." We are called to a radical hospitality. And Jesus also calls us to a Eucharistic life. This Eucharistic pattern of Jesus as he took, blessed, broke, and gave them bread at that table in Emmaus was so familiar to them because they'd been around Jesus as he fed the multitudes, as he instituted the sacrament that we call the Last Supper, as he ate and drank with them day in and day out. This pattern is so familiar that it was in the taking, blessing, breaking, and giving of bread that Cleopas and his friend finally recognized Jesus who had traveled with them. And so as we come to this table today, and oh, how I long that we could come together physically once again, but as we come to this table in spirit and in heart, let us truly encounter the presence of Jesus revealed breaking of bread. And at our own everyday tables, may we know the piping so that we may know the Son of Man in our everyday meals, that we might have Jesus as a guest at our own tables with our own families and our friends. And may we see ourselves as the body of Christ, taken from the grip of sin and death, blessed as we are brought to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, broken of our selfishness and our self-centeredness, and given as light and life to the world. We are given and called to be a community of the good news, a gospel community, a community of joy, a community devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers, a community of power, healing, and reconciliation. Community of radical generosity, giving to each according to their need. A community of generous hearts, praising God and loving all those around us. And so, as we journey through this time of disruption, uncertainty, and change, a journey not so very different from the road that Cleopas and his friend traveled, may we bring our disappointments into the presence of Christ. May we yield to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, even when it is painful. And may we be made into this community to which we are being called. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.